Good morning, everyone, and welcome to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. We're so happy to have you with us this morning. I'm Susan Locke with Kim Kennedy and Al Locke. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone. And we'd like to start off our morning, Susan, with some encouragement. And from Romans 15:13, we read, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." And we pray that that is the case for you all today. And before we get to our special guest on the phone this morning, Susan, very quickly, I just wanted to remind everyone to pray at 11 a.m. this morning for Kim Davis, the Rowan County, Kentucky clerk.
And, yes.
And she is going to be... I don't believe she's facing a hearing, but I know that there is a activist judge who is after her for supposedly breaking the law. But as Brian Fisher of American Family Association has pointed out, that she actually is keeping the law. And he correctly states that all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, not the Supreme Court.
I heard a clip last night of what happened yesterday, the crowds yelling and screaming at her and saying, "By what authority are you doing this? By what authority?" And her soft voice saying, "God's authority."
Also, apparently, Susan, the state of Kentucky's authority, because in 2010, they their constitution clearly states that a marriage is between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. So who are the lawbreakers?
Right.
So, law get in the way here, but we advocate a rule of law here and remind people that the law should be obeyed. So we'll keep her in prayer. Susan, we have Steve Piotrowski of Citizens for Liberty on the phone. Steve, are you there?
Thanks for having me.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, actually. On my way.
Great, great.
If you could speak up a little bit, Steve, we're having a little bit of a sound problem here. Please speak a little louder, please. Have the sound controls cranked all the way up. Perhaps if you could call back and we could get a better connection.
How about now? Is it being
sound? No, it's not very clear. In the meantime, I'd like to mention that Valley Forge Patriots and Faith and Freedom Coalition are sponsoring together a prayer event on September 12th. At Valley Forge Park from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. It's going to be held at Artillery Park Picnic Pavilion, East Inner Line Drive. That's Saturday, September 12th from 10 to noon. And what their announcement says, "Faith and Freedom Pennsylvania strongly encourages everyone to make a little time and come to pray for America. We as a nation are in trouble, and believers from all faiths need to come together and humble ourselves before God. Please, can't you set 2 hours aside for the good of America? Invite all your church friends and leaders for this most important morning." That's Prayer in the Park with Valley Forge Patriots and Faith and Freedom Coalition.
That's a wonderful event. Wonder, we need more of that, Susan.
I think that call to prayer is definitely needed.
Understatement of the year, but hopefully there will be more.
Right.
And Steve, do we have a better connection yet? Or is he going to call back?
I think we're waiting for him to call back.
Okay.
You had something else, Kim, I think?
Yeah, Susan, I just wanted to, I think there's still a great need for encouragement. I think you and I agree on that. And Dr. Marshall Foster, I know that you're familiar with him, the great Christian historian. And he's been writing in landmarkevents.org about what is happening, what has happened in Scotland in the past. And it is amazing how history from down through the centuries is relevant. It's what happened in the 1300s. It reads like the front pages of newspapers today. And so why do we bring it up? What's the relevance? Well, how people responded back then to tyrants is a lesson that we can apply today.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to go to landmarkevents.org and read about Dr. Marshall Foster's. He's been doing a blog on Scotland to America, Passing the Torch of Freedom. And he talks about any of you, I'm sure you've seen Braveheart, Susan.
Yes.
Great movie. It's a great movie, but I didn't realize. I often wondered, is it truth? Is it fiction? Is it a mix of both? But it is true. The English brutally ravaged Scotland, and William Wallace raised up a citizen army of Scots, and he became Scotland's greatest patriot by inspiring his men to fight for liberty based upon their God-given civil rights guaranteed in Magna Carta and the common law. And he was martyred, as we all know, but the torch was picked up by Robert the Bruce, king of the Scots, and he defeated the English oppressors at Bannockburn. And Susan, the roots of our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence come out a lot of Scottish freedom documents. And the Declaration of Arbroath, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And this, Dr. Foster clearly states that this was the first of their biblically based freedom documents, and their words cry out to us through the ages and inspire millions even today. Quote, "For as long as but 100 of us remain alive, never will we on any conditions be brought under English rule. It is in truth not for glory, nor riches, nor honors that we are fighting, but for freedom, for that alone, which no honest man gives up, but with life itself." Powerful words.
They are powerful words. This is a cry of the human heart. It's God-given rights. These are God-given rights because it's a God-given desire in our hearts for freedom.
Well said. And I, it's interesting to note that out of the Reformation, and we see the work of the Holy Spirit working through John Knox and people like him, the great reformers, that out of interchange and soul conversion, outer change resulted. These ideas that kings didn't have the divine right to tell people what to think, what to, you know, how to live, basically the divine right of the king, and you obeyed them mindlessly, regardless of how abusive they were, that started to be challenged as people studied the Bible and they learned about governments with checks and balances, and people learned that God doesn't set up tyrants.
Exactly. There have been a number of revivals in Scotland, too. Major moves of God there.
Mm-hmm. Even today.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So he continues, Dr. Foster, and I encourage you folks to go to landmarkevents.org and read the whole thing, because if this is not applicable to today and we can't gain inspiration from it, I don't know what does. But when the English Stuart kings, James and Charles, attempted to destroy true biblical faith in Scotland, they met in the Greyfriars churchyard and signed their National Covenant of 1638. Many Scots signed the document in their own blood, swearing never to compromise their faith or that of their children. The Christian Scots were declaring to the world that their rights came from God, not from the king or any government leader, court, or legislator. Therefore, a ruler cannot force his arbitrary laws upon the people and expect them to passively follow. Susan, do we need a reminder
words
of that
resound
today?
Yes. Today, don't they?
Certainly do. We need to be reminded of that, and to understand that this bold national covenant, we must realize that these Scottish men in kilts, they weren't just playing war games. They didn't promote anarchy as many modern revolutions up to our time. This is really important, Susan, and I know we agree on this and we've talked about this. They were biblically and intellectually prepared to stand against oppression, even to death, by men like the eminent Professor Samuel Rutherford. Rutherford's book, Lex Rex, written in 1644, stands even today as the premier defense of the biblical rights and responsibilities of people to resist tyranny, out-of-control government, and to restore the rule of law, which is really God's law.
It is God's law. That's right. And many people have, our country is so blessed because the founders knew that and did such an excellent job of putting together those documents and those, putting those principles into words that have lasted this long. Well, we're getting close to time for a break, so we ask you to stay with us. We hope you'll be able to join us. We have a wonderful next half hour coming up with Dr. Paul Kinger, and we have some more wonderful things to share with you in the meantime, so please stay with us. Thank you. World is turning in its place. You're the one who goes before me, and in my heart I know that this good day, it is a gift from you. Good morning and welcome back, everyone, to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, where we are working for your liberty. I'm Susan Locke, joined by Kim Kennedy this morning.
Good morning. Susan, let's briefly wrap this up because I know you have something you want to share with us. And just say with Dr. Marshall Foster writing in landmarkevents.org about Scottish resistance to tyranny down through the ages and the great documents of freedom that came out of it, which were based on scripture, which just goes to prove that God is the great lover of liberty. And what really struck me is that over the years, it 18,000, I had to read that again, 18,000 pastors in Scotland gave their life ultimately for freedom. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't. And finally, the brutal Stuart kings were swept from power. In 1688, England and Scotland experienced true freedom under William and Mary and the Glorious Revolution and the English Bill of Rights. Again, the revival of liberty can be traced to brave defenders of God's justice who remembered the paper trail of freedom. And today, Susan, the quest for freedom continues today. And the news sometimes can be very dark out of certain areas of the globe, but yet you have some information about how revival, I think that's the word I'm looking for, is breaking out in some of the darkest circumstances, how God, like he did centuries ago in Scotland, he's doing the same today.
Well, this is a report from Christian Aid Mission, and it's dated October 23rd of 2014, so it's been almost a year. But the title of it is The Role of the Bible Grows Following ISIS Attacks in Northern Iraq. In Iraq's northern areas where Islamic State or ISIS militants have extended their brutal campaign to establish a caliphate, coveted copies of the Bible are playing a key role in the lives of displaced people from a myriad of religious backgrounds. Supply is limited. Some Bibles are available locally while others need to be shipped in. But the demand appears to be endless, especially among refugees and internally displaced peoples. One person said, every time we try to open a box or container to distribute Bibles, we get attacked by people in their eagerness to get a copy, the director of a locally based ministry said. We've never had a problem giving them away. Nominal members of historic churches are seeking the Bible, as are Yazidis and Sunni and Shia Muslims. Yazidis practice a blend of Christian, Islamic, and Zoroastrian rituals. The religious nature of the region makes faith matters of great interest to the people and an important part of their lives, and the search for the truth has become one of the priorities of the Muslims, he said, adding that ISIS militants' religiously motivated murders of civilians have provided a golden opportunity to present the loving and peaceful Christ. The Native Ministry, which Christian Aid Mission assists, provides Bibles along with material aid such as food and blankets. While meeting their immediate needs is crucial, the knowledge of God found in the Bible provides refugees a more enduring benefit, said Christian Aid Mission's Middle East director. Muslims come with a worldview that is full of fear, and the message of a God who gives himself and cares for you as a child of God is new to them, he said. It gives them great hope, and as people who've lost everything, this hope is 1,000 times more meaningful to them. The Bible is the preacher who can reach people, stay with them at home, and talk to them every day about Jesus, which is something we cannot always do due to lack of preachers, he said. We do have many in the area, and the nature of the ministry among thousands makes the Bible the number one tool for salvation of people. While acknowledging that ISIS atrocities, such as religiously motivated beheadings of non-Muslim people committed in the early years of Islam, the Muslim refugees do not regard the militants as true Muslims. They say all the displaced Muslims say ISIS is a criminal gang and that they are not true Muslims. Some feel ashamed of such actions, especially as it occurred at the dawn of Islam and its expansion, while others are trying by all means to deny it as part of the Islamic religion and dismiss it as part of acts by Zionists against Arabs. Most Muslims who are committing their lives to Jesus Christ were already disillusioned with Islam before that, he said. For this reason, hundreds find their way to Christ today in secret or in public. Besides Muslims and people of minority religions, such as Yazidis, displaced persons belonging to historic churches that discourage them from reading the Bible are also showing up to claim copies. The director said nominal members of the Syriac, Orthodox, Catholic, and other churches have responded to the evangelical witness by putting their trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life. They are becoming born again, attending churches, being discipled, and trying to adjust to the new way of learning and reading the Bible, said the director. adding that the ministry strives to work with historic churches by building ties of friendship. The new Christians from varied backgrounds are mixing together as a new people in Christ, though living as displaced peoples means that some remain in isolated pockets. According to their geographical locations, many would prefer to come to the local churches and the house churches if they could, but because of the difficulty of travel and making a living and the challenges of life, which predominantly are like those of homelessness, some remain in their places until the brothers reach out to them. Because of restrictions by countries in the Middle East to print and distribute Bibles, there is a current need to purchase Bibles. Whole Bibles in Arabic, Aramaic, and Kurdish languages are needed, as well as children's versions of the same. Also needed are New Testaments in Kurdish, Sorani, Badiniani, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, languages. The ministry also distributes Christian literature as well as illustrated Bibles for all ages, designed for Muslims who know nothing about Jesus. The books of illustrated Bible stories and the children's Bible cost $5 each. A whole Bible costs 4 hardcover copies, going for 5 to 8. New Testaments printed locally cost $2. For the hundreds of thousands of refugees in the tents, in the fields, everywhere, in the mountains of the Kurdistan area, it's the right time for us to give Bibles, the Iraqi ministry director said. I strongly believe God's hand is in this situation, and God brought all these people to us and wants us to act for them as we can. This comes from the Christian Aid Mission in Charlottesville, Virginia. So if you're interested, you can find them online, the Christian Aid Mission, or call them at 434-977-5650.
It's we can get encouragement, Susan, out of both of the accounts of what the Scots went through in the 13, 14, 1500s and what minorities in the world of Islam in the Middle East are going through, that in the most darkest and horrific circumstances, good things are coming out of it. And I'd like to hope and pray that we can say the same here, that as our country isn't doing as well as it should and could, that God will bring good out of it. I was thinking on Hebrews 11:1 as I was thinking about these things, and it says that faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. In verse 2 it says, through their faith, through these people's faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. So people, we're still reading about these people from the 13 and 1400s, and Susan, these people from months ago, a year ago, have developed a good reputation for us to look at them and say, well, yeah, here's some really horrible things happening, but here's what God is doing.
And the truth is that God does not change. He is the same forever, and His power is the same forever. So, and often when things are darkest is when that light shines through. And I was reading that in the history of revival, as we were talking about last week. That's when things are the darkest. There can be a movement. That's when people cry out, and then there is a revival. So we encourage everyone to keep on praying and trusting and hoping in God. And please join us in our next half hour. We will be welcoming Dr. Paul Kenger with us.
It is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it too. Lift my voice to sing a song of praise for me. And in my heart I know that this good day, it is a gift from you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, where we are working for your liberty. I'm Susan Locke, and Kim Kennedy is here with me this morning. Russell Orler is at the board. We are looking forward to speaking with Dr. Paul Kenger this morning, who is with the Center for Vision and Values at Grove City. He is a professor of political science at Grove City College, which is a four-year private Christian liberal arts college in Grove City. He's an author of many books, an expert on Ronald Reagan, and we're hoping that he'll be able to join us and talk about his recent trip out to the Reagan Library with his family of 8 children, he and his wife. They went by train out there. I'm really looking forward to hearing about that. And also his new book, Takedown, which gives the history of socialism, socialist thought in this country. So while we're waiting for him, Kim, I think you had something else you wanted to share.
Yeah, just, you know, something that's, I think is a concern to us all as this continues to just get out of control with this, divisive racial rhetoric that we're listening to in this country. And just the Delaware County Patriots, friends of the station, shared this morning that in Lahata, Maryland, they issued a statement Wednesday night and announcing that a 20-year-old black man was arrested for making a threat on Twitter earlier in the day to kill all the white people in the town. And we wish we could say that this was a an isolated case, but on this Black Lives Matters, we're seeing things like a activist was arrested online to, quote, kill all white people, unquote. And again, we have a professor at a college, and this is several of them now, are saying the same things, that all white people should be eradicated, just wiped off the face of the earth. And this is, you don't even know how to respond to it, Susan.
Such racist statements from anyone on any side, from any race, are outrageous. It's just unacceptable. Unacceptable rhetoric. It's just outrageous.
I have found, Susan, that the easiest thing in life to do is to blame other people for your own troubles.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I have to catch my own self-talk when I'm doing that. And saying, it's not that one's fault.
Stirring up such divisiveness is really wrong. It's spoken against in the Bible. It's one of the things that God hates. It's really not a good thing to do.
And it doesn't help the black community.
It doesn't help anyone.
No. I mean, Ferguson a year later is in far worse shape than it was prior to that. So we encourage people to put away that mindless sentiments and let's really look at what ails the black community, and that the unemployment rate is double than what it is of the national average, and examine the reasons why that is, and have a real conversation, and talk about the importance of intact nuclear families. Perfect they are not, but it's God's design, and encouraging education and staying in school and working hard, and that is still the key to success in life.
It is. And as we've talked about earlier this week, one of the big problems is the lack of jobs for people. Without that, people don't have much hope, and it makes them feel bad about themselves. They don't know what to do with themselves. It's really, really not a good situation. So we need to be looking for ways to develop jobs and create policies that will be beneficial to job creators.
Yes. And if I can add to that, I would encourage you folks to check out AFA.net, AmericanFamilyAssociation.net. And there's an article called The Divided States of America that addresses this issue. And they very well state all life matters. Why? Because God says it matters. It matters because God's Son gave his life so that you can live. This is what Jesus is saying about living, about life. The thief comes only to steal and to kill. And once again, God's word is right. That is a perfect summary of the situation, is that God created all. And one race, one group, one people, one gender isn't superior to another. The blood of Jesus Christ applies to all equally. I think the most non-discriminatory statement in the whole world is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one is more sinful or one is better than the other. It applies to the whole human race. But the good news is that the blood of Jesus Christ applies to all without discrimination.
That's right. And also, we would encourage people to contact our friends at Americans for Prosperity, because they are a wealth of knowledge and a great source of information about economic issues and jobs and that sort of thing. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, Susan. Very well said. And we look to pastors like Franklin Graham, who has just really stepped up to the plate. Susan, I've heard you say that you appreciate what he's been saying. And he has said the same thing, to unite people in our crisis, in our troubles. We are looking to leadership, and we're thankful for people like Franklin Graham and American Family Network and Ray Comfort and others who are saying, you know, it's time to unite. We're not going to help the country. We're not going to help anybody with this mindless name calling and stupid slogans, and just, you know, let's put an end to mindlessness. Let's work together. But ultimately, like Franklin Graham and others say, let's turn back to God, the great God that were with the founders at the beginning and empowered them and gave them the ideas of freedom and liberty. Perfect they were not, but it worked a whole lot better than what is working now, Susan.
That's right. And we need to be praying for all of our leaders, those in authority at every level, from the highest down to the lowest. We have a report here from some more friends of ours at the Commonwealth Foundation. This is a report about the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. Former marketing director James Short faced federal charges that for years he illegally accepted gifts and bribes from one wine and spirit producer and another broker while playing a key role in selecting what liquors would make it to the shelves of government-owned liquor stores across Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board's rampant scandals show just why it's time to get government out of the booze business, stated Nathan Benefeld. This is just another one of those. We've talked before about the government control of these things and how they really should be privatized. For years, this government liquor monopolies headlines of ethics scandals have sounded more like a broken record than breaking news. They said the biggest scandal of all is that taxpayers continue to fund the state-run system that invites this corruption. That's the thing right there. Taxpayers are funding it. This state-run system.
It's insulting.
So you can get more information from the Commonwealth Foundation about this. Here are some of the charges against him. They include accepting bribes such as meals, golf outings, expense-paid trips, more from liquor suppliers. Pennsylvania is only one of only two states with a complete government monopoly over wholesale and retail sales of wine and spirits, with the PLCB making all decisions regarding options available for consumers.
Mm.
Benefeld, who is the Vice President of Policy Analysis for Commonwealth Foundation, said this long string of scandals underscores why the state's liquor monopoly, in which a few bureaucrats control what products Pennsylvanians can purchase, has no place in our state. So you can go online to Commonwealth Foundation and find out more about this and other state scandals. There are many to choose from.
They are a good friend of our station, Susan. We have them in. They're coming in, actually, in a couple weeks. We always have Bob Dick visit with us, a great policy analyst there, and they're spot on. They get it. They understand what's happening. It sure would help the budget crisis in this state mm-hmm. to privatize.
Mm-hmm.
So we look to elected officials once again on a state level to act in the best interest of the people.
Well, this brings up the whole thing about this quote treaty unquote, and that our congressional leaders are, what are they doing? I think it's really, everyone needs to take a look at this and contact them. What are they doing and why? And they have sworn to uphold the Constitution. This is not constitutional. It is absolutely not constitutional. What they're doing is ridiculous. Even to try to understand what they're doing, it's just a big trick.
That, Susan, extremely well said. I can't add to that except to encourage people, like you said, contact your representatives, folks. Stay on them. The more we keep the heat and the pressure on them, the more that they will do the will of the people.
We really can't give up and just say, oh, well, you know, whatever, they're going to do it anyway.
Mm-mm.
We really can't. We do have recourse. We do have voices. We need to speak up. It's really ridiculous.
You know, Susan, if I can add a comment to that, because I caught an article yesterday, just read it very briefly, about how some family groups put pressure on the MTV Awards about Miley Cyrus and how she backed off on the MTV Awards on Sunday from doing more provocative things. And I thought, it really works. When you take a stand and you let people know when you're being salt and light, it works. So we all need to, including myself, we need to encourage each other to stay on these people's case.
That's right. Well, stay with us. We'll be back right after this break. You're listening to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL.
The world is turning in its place because you made it to lift my voice to sing a song of praise on this good day.
Ronald Reagan once said, "I have wondered at times about what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress."
We the People t-shirts, where freedom is always in style. Famous quotes from patriots throughout U.S. history printed on the back of our t-shirts. We do over 25 quotes in a variety of colors. High quality t-shirts with a meaningful message that make people think. encourage others by reminding them about patriots of conviction who have gone before us. Order directly from wethepeopletshirts.us. For more information, call 757-645-8878.
We are right to take alarm at the first experiment upon our liberties, a quote from James Madison.
There's an average of 11 student-to-student assaults per day in Philadelphia School District. That's 19,752 over the last 5 years. There's an average of 5 student-to-teacher assaults per day. That's over 4,000 over 5 years. That's a total of 23,752 assaults over 5 years in the Philadelphia School District.
Should you be considering a different public school option? Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Your child deserves to be safe. Visit www.palx.org or call us at 1-877-725-2785 to apply today. That's PALCS.org or call us at 1-877-725-2785.
Here's Minute with a Master, brought to you by Bella Victor.
Today's question is, why do we lack or feel we lack God's peace when circumstances become chaotic? Peace is a fruit of the Spirit according to Galatians 5:22. We have it given to us when we are born again. But the reason we feel the lack of peace is because we are not responding in faith to what God has done for us, given us, and promised us. Trusting God in His goodness and ability and not our carnality is responding in faith, and this releases the peace of God in us. Isaiah 26:3 says this beautifully. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Yes, peace is a byproduct of our trust in him.
This is a liberating truth brought to you by Bella Victor. For more information, contact Bella at MinuteWithTheMaster.com.
And in my heart I know that this good day, it is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it to
live. Good morning and welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, where we are working for your liberty. It occurs to me, Kim Kennedy is here with me, that, you know, humor is a life-saving thing and perhaps the best way to approach some of these problems that are so outrageous. Everything's upside down and so crazy that it just, I mean, even 10 years ago you would have gone, what? Like, talking about.
Are we really talking about this? Yes, we are.
You were just mentioning in the break.
Shot of sanity. What do you think of that? Yeah. Things that you think were taken for granted, but they aren't. And one of them is apparently the need to distinguish who uses what restroom, Susan. And if I didn't read this headline correctly, Missouri students protest transgender teens' use of girls' locker room restroom. Well, I would too.
Of course. Everyone has a right to privacy, for heaven's sakes. This is just, it's just utterly ridiculous. That person's right does not trump the rights of everyone else.
That's right.
To have privacy in the restroom.
That's right. And I call it a perversion. What do you
call
it?
It is a perversion. Yeah.
And it's just an ongoing, folks, you know, it's just an ongoing. In Proverbs, Solomon said, where there is no vision, the people perish. And vision means where there is no law. When God's word is no longer taught, people do crazy things like this. Mm-hmm. They, you know, rational thinking goes out the window. And men pretending that they're transgendered, who want to get their kicks, want to go into women's restroom and locker rooms. And it also comes from a faulty teaching that human beings are sexual first and foremost and not spiritual. Susan?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And we are made in the image of God. That's why we're pro-life here. We're not just pro-life because, you know, oh, you know, you're trying to encroach on a woman's right. No. The argument isn't a woman's right. It's a human being. It's a person made in the image of God. We're to do right by people before they're born and while they're born.
Well, why should we have to be concerned now about our daughters going into their locker room or their restroom at school or wherever they are and having to be concerned about this invasion of their privacy?
Yes, yes. And, you know, on one hand, Susan, we're telling little kids, oh, be careful who touches you and be careful who does this and that to you. Well, what do you tell a kid that, a 5 or 6 year old that, well, you know, a man who thinks he's a girl can use your bathroom or your locker room. Isn't that a contradiction? Or is it just me? Help me out here, somebody. You know, it's, we were saying in the break that we didn't think we would have to have these conversations even 10 years ago, but we do.
If anyone would like to call in and share your thoughts about this, the number here is 610-539-TALK-8255, 610-539-TALK. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, and we, you know, it's not just about a minority's rights. It's about everybody's rights, and it's also about respecting children, respecting people, not looking at people as being, let me put it in the positive, looking at people for what they are, made in the image of God, have intrinsic value, having souls that have to live forever somewhere. And when we look at it that from that point of view, hopefully we'll treat people differently. I know, Susan, I need to keep that top of mind because I don't. And so it's a reminder that we need to encourage each other to, you know, look at humanity that way. I think a lot of our problems would be changed if we did that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the crazy story for the day. You were sharing with me that Dana Lash had some comments about that, Susan.
Oh, she has gone off several times about this very issue, just the ridiculous nature of it and how unfair it is to girls in particular. But unfair to all children, it just isn't. It isn't right.
No, and so please understand where we're coming from, and it's really to really show what the true nature of this is, and we need to defend. We must always be vigilant about protecting those most vulnerable in our society, and we've always consistently here tried to take that position, especially for the young in our country, which are particularly vulnerable.
Speaking of education, I have another report here from the Commonwealth Foundation titled "The Teacher's Bill of Rights: Pennsylvania Educators Should Be Free to Teach. Removing workplace barriers will foster the best learning environment in public schools." This is dated August 25th, so it's just about a week ago, from Harrisburg. It says, "Mary loves teaching culinary arts, but doesn't want her name used in political mailers. Jane spent a career in the classroom, but can't donate money she's earned to her chosen scholarship fund. And Frank is a veteran teacher who wants to resign his union membership, but can't until 2017, after he's eligible for retirement. Meet Pennsylvania's teachers, inspired by a passion to educate, but ironically stymied by the union leaders charged with representing them. Now they are speaking out in support of the Teachers' Bill of Rights, presented by Free to Teach, a project of the Commonwealth Foundation." Now, we've had some teachers in here recently talking about this very thing, Kim, right?
That's right. And that really, all of this conversation ties in with what we talked about in the first hour about the Christian patriots in the 1400s, what's going on in Iraq, Syria, where people are being converted, taking a stand, despite the price of martyrdom if they were to make their faith known. And these people are taking a stand. Kim Davis today is taking a stand, that Roane County clerk in Kentucky, who's standing on law.
Mm-hmm.
She is in the right, both federal and state law in Kentucky state. What a marriage is. DOMA may be ignored, but it's still the land of the law. And it just takes people, everyday people like our listeners, to wherever you're at, to take a stand and to stand in love.
Yeah, and to not be afraid. As I was mentioning these teachers, there are three teachers mentioned in this report: Frank, Mary, and Jane. Frank, a high school teacher in Lackawanna County, 28-year member of the National Education Association, disagrees with political causes his dues support. When he learned of his right to resign union membership, he also learned his current contract prohibits him from leaving his union until June of 2017, after he is eligible for retirement. "The union does not represent or even respect my deeply held convictions," Frank says. "It forces me to violate them." Same concept. Mary. Mary was exploited. Williamsport area educator Mary Trometer was a member of the Pennsylvania State Education Association, PSEA, for more than 20 years. She was shocked when her name was used without her consent in a political mailer the union sent to her husband, asking him to, quote, "join Mary in voting for Tom Wolf for governor." We've heard this story before.
Yes, we have.
This came in the mail to her husband, not to her, urging him to join her in voting for Wolf. She said, "I was so appalled by the content of this election letter. I ripped it in two before realizing that I should speak up about my experience," Mary wrote. Unions used to protect the little guy, like my great-grandfather, but they've become what we used to fight against. I think that's key. They have become what we used to fight against.
True.
Now they're the big bosses and ordinary union members are the little guy. That was Mary. Now Jane. Jane was rejected. As a religious objector to union membership in Chester County, Jane Ladley, and we've had Jane in here, donated her fair share fee, otherwise owed to the teachers union, to charity. But and we'll have to pick this up. I'm sorry, we're coming up on a break. We'll pick this up. Stay with us here on 1180. WFYL, where we are working for your liberty and things that matter.
The world is turning in its place because you made it to lift my voice to sing a song of
good morning and welcome back, everyone, to It's a New Day here at WFYL, where we are working for your liberty, 1180 AM in the Philadelphia area. In the last hour, we were just talking about a report from Commonwealth Foundation. I'm Susan Locke here with Kim Kennedy, and we were remembering that, Jane, one of the teachers mentioned, Jane Ladley, was here with us just a few weeks ago,
yes.
two weeks ago, I believe. And I'll pick it up there again. As a religious objector to union membership in Chester County, Jane Ladley donated her fair share fee to, which otherwise would be owed to the teachers union, to charity. But the PSEA rejected her choice of a scholarship fund that was designed for high school seniors who displayed an interest in the U.S. Constitution. They are telling me which groups I have to choose, Jane said. It is a wrong that needs to be righted. Can only agree with that.
And they're working with the Fairness Center, Susan?
Yeah. So this report says they should be free to teach. This is a report from the Commonwealth Foundation. Brittany Parker, project director for Free to Teach, says it's time for an alternative. Quote, teachers often start the school year by explaining classroom rules to their students, but these same teachers are forced to play by arbitrary union rules that flagrantly disregard their rights as educators and as individuals, she said. The Teachers' Bill of Rights equips teachers to know their rights so they can be free to teach instead of bound in constant battle with union leaders. As teachers head back to school, Free to Teach offers practical information and support so they can focus on their students without union interference. Now, that reference is to the Teachers' Bill of Rights, which I did not read before. Let me share that with you. The Teachers' Bill of Rights. The person who wrote this says, as a public educator who loves the teaching profession, I believe the following rights will best secure my professional growth and freedom and foster the best learning environment for Pennsylvania's students. One, the right to associate professionally as I choose, without being forced to contribute financially to any organization I do not support. Two, the right to be rewarded as a professional based on my job performance. Three, the right to protect my paycheck and not be forced to fund political views I oppose. Four, the right to have flexibility to meet the learning needs of students regardless of job action stipulations by the union. And five, the right to employment based on merit, not just years of experience. Unfortunately, these rights are only aspirations for most Pennsylvania teachers. That needs to change if we want the best for our public educations and the students they teach.
And these are not unreasonable requests, Susan. They're not asking for, outrageous demands. They're just asking for the freedom to control where their fees go to, and they don't want to violate their conscience.
And I'm sure that there are a lot of teachers like Frank, Mary, and Jane, some we've had here on the station, and others. There are a lot of wonderful people out there, dedicated people who love the children and the teens, and they really want to make a good difference in their lives. They need not be bound by these needless, these ridiculous stipulations, regulations, and so on. FreeToTeach.org is an online community and resource center that equips and empowers Pennsylvania teachers hungry for information about public education and the teaching profession. Free to Teach covers topics that affect teachers' professional lives, like public pensions, performance pay, seniority, school spending, and labor rights. Brittany Parker is the spokesman for that group, freetoteach.org. Again, so for any teachers out there who are struggling in this area, or anyone who knows a teacher who's struggling, you might want to check out this website, freetoteach.org.
That's great. What a great reminder. It's very, very important that we support teachers' freedoms, all our freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Susan, another subject dear to our heart, and we've talked about this on air, we both have, is the just the horrific nature of the videos of Planned Parenthood that have been exposed. And we're not just here to say, oh, that's so horrible, oh, that's so bad. Yes, we're here to say that, but to the extent that to keep the pressure on our representatives that this is not acceptable, that this organization, Planned Parenthood, needs to be defunded, to say the least.
Yeah, talk about taxation without representation. You know, the teachers' unions, that there's an example of it, of their money being used for something they don't want without their say. And this Planned Parenthood funding of these atrocities is more than outrageous. It is just intolerable.
It's, I mean, even animals don't kill their young the way that human beings do. And I'm sorry.
For us to be paying for that with our hard-earned money is
wrong.
It's absolutely wrong.
And I'm sorry to say I was reading Eric Erickson this morning, and he did not have encouraging news to report, because from what his observation is, what he's seeing and hearing in D.C., is that the pro-life establishment in D.C. is basically dropping the ball on the issue. They're not pursuing it with vigor, and they're not keeping the pressure on, and they're willing to compromise. And there's just the bottom line of this article was that there's a lot of motion without any heart and soul to fund Planned Parenthood, and that's not acceptable. That's not. We've said it here, and we mean it, that we want God to bless America. We want things to change. Well, if we're going to knowingly kill our unborn and then sell their parts, like we've stated here before, like you go into Advanced Auto or AutoZone looking for a replacement belt or a broken headlight, and that's pretty well much how it's treated, not going to happen. And Susan, I just want to remind you and our listeners that Fox News on September 4th is planning to air an hour-long report on Planned Parenthood's organ harvesting business. And it starts at 10 p.m., and it's titled Planned Parenthood, The Hidden Harvest. The documentary will review the videos released by the Center for Medical Progress, CMP, showing Planned Parenthood's top executives haggling over the cost of aborted babies' body parts and discussing ways to alter procedures to obtain organs for harvesting. I get choked up about this. Additionally, the report will reveal how CMP was able to get access to Planned Parenthood's top officials and how they trained themselves to be experts in organ harvesting. The president of Operation Rescue, Troy Newman, said he started working on the undercover expose with David Dalton, the founder of CMP, more than 3 years ago. He said, "I expect the documentary will be very much on our side. This information really made Fox News anchor Shannon Beam emotional." Later, Newman added that the documentary will reveal how CMP came about and how it is rocking the world in exposing the dark harvest of baby parts. It will be about David and the people around him and how we hatched the plan to go undercover to uncover these atrocities. Fox News said the following in an announcement about the television special. This summer, a series of secretly recorded videos have exposed a business in fetal tissue. Already, a number of politicians have called for the defunding of Planned Parenthood, a primary target of the sting, while others support the organization and call this just another salvo in the war on women. The Fox News reporting special delves into the controversy, featuring exclusive new details about the making of these videos and of investigating an industry and field of scientific research that many did not even know existed. So we are not advocating, you know, or plugging a network per se, but we are saying that this sounds like a special that is worth watching. And we hope the result, Susan, is that people continue to consistently keep pressure on elected officials to defund this organization.
This will be September 4th. You said that's tomorrow.
That is correct.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Does it give a time?
10 p.m.
10 p.m. on?
On Fox News. I can't believe it. It's September 4th already.
Yeah,
I'm thinking that's 2 weeks out.
I know. That's tomorrow. Yeah, that's great. Can you believe they call it the Center for Medical Progress? Doesn't it sound like something out of Nazi Germany?
It really, really does.
Or the Soviet Union.
Yeah, it's, and what really disturbs me is the thing that I still can't get used to is with such cold detachment to hear these people talk about legs and arms and brains and eyes. Oh, and don't forget to shut their eyes when you ship them whole. Yes, it's just...
It's so horrible to that you don't want to think about it. And so it's very, very easy to turn away and put your head in the sand. It's not a time anymore to do that.
Would these people, Susan, would these people go to Auschwitz or Bergen-Belsen and just shrug their shoulders in indifference?
No, they wouldn't. And if they saw this happening to puppies and kittens, they would be outraged.
And we do love animals here.
There's a time for outrage. There's a time to stand up and say, this is absolutely wrong.
But if it's wrong for animals, isn't it wrong for you? Even more wrong than?
Oh, my goodness.
Once again, we're reminded in Scripture and Proverbs, Solomon says that we are to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, we will return after this break. We hope you'll stay with us here on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, where we are working for your liberty and things that matter.
The world is turning in its place because you made it to lift my voice to sing a song of praise on this good day.
When news breaks, he's there at the heart of the story.
There is no better way to show you the scope of our lead story than from the air.
Feeding is the word we're taking right now. It is, in fact, the taste of freedom.
When lives change, he's there to listen.
You want your child to be able to walk outside and feel safe and feel like they're important.
When it really matters, you can depend on him.
It's a lot to try and understand here and much to learn.
NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
At a speech given at the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference in Camp Hill on Friday, April 17, 2015, Cheryl Atkison, investigative reporter and journalist, was asked for her thoughts on the Tea Party. Here is Cheryl's response.
Well, I'm interested in the Tea Party. I can't say I know that much about it. But for a story I did the last year I was at CBS, and I can't remember why I needed it, I want to know the latest poll numbers on support or lack thereof for the Tea Party. And I assumed, like a lot of people, everybody hates the Tea Party. Nobody likes Tea Party because that's sort of the theme you always hear. Oh, the Tea Party, they're a bunch of this and that. Well, to my surprise, and I had no agenda, I just wanted the facts, the CBS polling unit called back and said the last poll we did showed, and I hesitate to use a number because I don't remember the number, but it was extraordinary that something, I'm going to say, upwards of 75% or more of Americans agreed with some of the values or the agenda of the Tea Party. And I don't know what they had listed as the values or agenda, or if they had or they just posed the question, but I was like, that is so different than the reality. So I think there's been an AstroTurf campaign, of course, to controversialize the Tea Party because somebody sees that as damaging, and I think some of that's been within the Republican Party itself, which has done this to the Tea Party.
The liberty of the press consists in the right to publish with impunity truth, with good motives, for justifiable ends. To disallow, it is fatal. Alexander Hamilton, 1804.
One who goes before me, and in my heart I know that this good day, it is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it.
Good morning and welcome back to It's a New Day. I'm Kim Kennedy and I'm here with Susan Locke.
Good morning, everyone.
We're so glad that you could join us. We've been having just a really free-all discussion today about things that really do matter to us and things that we need to be reminded of. And our purpose here is not to discourage and get the day off, you know, like grumbling, but it's to motivate people, first of all, to pray and also to exercise our freedom to participate in a representative government. Susan, is that not correct?
Exactly. Exactly. That's right.
Well, Susan, school has started. I'm sorry. I'm still back in March. I can't believe where time goes. But the FederalistPapers.org has a very interesting article called Middle School Reading List 100 Years Ago Versus Today. Show how far American educational standards have declined. And very, very interesting article. It says that we've gone from teaching Latin and Greek in high school to teaching remedial English in college. And some might be tempted to say, well, it's because kids are dumber. And I don't think that's the case, Susan.
I don't think it's that they're dumber. I think that they're not taught properly. And standards have slipped so that the language today is atrocious. I was listening to Laura Ingraham's replay last night, and she was talking about, or yesterday her program, she was talking about it's the easy way to use swear words, every other word, and just, and slang and everything. That's easy. It requires very little effort and very little thought. But it takes a little thought to articulately put together a sentence and use intelligent words.
Susan, extremely well said. As a former teacher myself, I worked very, very hard as a teacher. You put together lesson plans. You had to figure out how each individual child in the classroom learned, getting inside people's minds.
And that's quite a task because everyone learns differently.
That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, children, I taught very young children, and many times if they're misdiagnosed, they can carry a stigma for life that isn't true. So you really have to teach the basics. Thankfully, I taught in private Christian schools where we taught phonetics, where we taught the old-fashioned way, if I can put it that way. And my kids learned to read by the end of kindergarten. They were all reading. And, you know, nothing new under the sun there. We just used tried-and-true ways. But it's really interesting to look at a 1908 curriculum manual in the Minnesota Historical Society archives that included detailed reading lists for various grade levels. According to her research, the recommended literature for 7th and 8th graders in Minnesota included the classics, something that I don't really read anymore. And I think, Susan, that has to do more with political correctness and agenda in our schools.
I agree.
As opposed to, once again, teaching.
It's dictated from on high, I think.
And, you know, it's what these kids are missing is that critical thinking skills are absent. And it goes back, it ties into what we talked about in our first hour, is that people, where there is no vision, the people perish. When people are told that the king has divine rights and you just mindlessly do what government says, you know, you can park your brain and you don't have to engage. You don't have, thinking is hard work. And, but also in Proverbs, it says that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And where that is absent, as so often is in our education systems today, people, all kinds of crazy things are being taught. That has nothing to do with truth, or that is information that isn't needful or helpful, or really ends up being harmful. Susan, such as in Massachusetts public schools, where they want to start in kindergarten teaching gender-free curriculum, and they want to start teaching about continue on and expanding Heather Has Two Mommies, and trying to pass off perversion as education.
That's really brainwashing and indoctrination.
And, I say, with all gravity is, you know, every human being has to give an account. And once again, I keep coming back to taking advantage of those who are at a disadvantage. And certainly kids are. They're dependent on us to teach them right things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's an awesome responsibility.
And they're such little sponges. Kathy Barnett's children were here yesterday, in the other room while she was hosting the program and interviewing people. And, some guests came in, actually from Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School, and that we were asking him what his mom had been doing on the air. And he gave a blow-by-blow description of the interview that he had just heard. And he's 9. And I thought, you know, it is so important that they hear what's true and right, because they're soaking it up like little sponges. They really are. At very young ages, even younger than 9, of course, his little sister was right in there, too. That they remember.
That's a great point. And it just goes to show you that image of God that we're created in, and that innate understanding, as Romans chapter 1 talks about, there is in every human being a knowledge of God. Romans 1 says it's either repressed, and 3 times it says if it's repressed, knowingly repressed, and keeps being denied, God responds by giving them over to a reprobate mind. 3 times it says that. I encourage you to read Romans chapter 1. And reprobate mind actually means vain, empty, worthless, a mind that when you hear some people with degrees behind their name say some of the things they do, and you scratch your head, you understand why, because it is vain, mindless, and not worth anything. Whereas I've heard some people talk who have maybe a high school education and have so much wisdom, and you learn a lot from them. They have God's wisdom. They have God's perspective on life. So I guess ultimately we could say that education without God results in people callously laughing about body parts of unborn children who have no regard for other people's lives, who give us the kind of government that you had in Germany that gave rise to a Hitler, And I dare say, Susan, I hope I'm not overstating the case, but give us some of the leaders that we have now. Do you think I'm exaggerating the point?
I don't. But it occurs to me while you're speaking that those are the dark things. That's the dark side of everything. You know, we live in an age when we have so much at our fingertips, whether it's homeschooling or charter schooling or even if your children are in public school, there are so many resources available, good resources as well as bad. There are good resources available. You can have access to the classics. You can have access to so many wonderful things. You can order them from Amazon. You can get them at the library. You can read them on your phone. I mean, there are wonderful resources available. You don't have to be lazy. You don't have to listen to, what's his name, Kiana? Kiana, who's the person who said, you don't have to let that kind of example for your children stand. You know, you can really give them wonderful resources at very little cost.
And what about our own Carla Diadesi?
Oh yes, my goodness. Yeah, just fantastic resources available. Like I always like to go back to Charlie Brown. You have to delve. You have to delve, Charlie Brown. Sometimes you have to do a little work and it takes a little effort, but it's definitely worth it. Definitely worth it. Well, these segments fly by so quickly. We'll be back right after this break. We hope you'll stay with us here on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, where we're working for your liberty and things that matter.
The world is turning in its place because you made it to lift my voice to sing a song of praise on this good day. And in my heart I know that this good day, it is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it to.
Good morning and welcome back to It's a New Day. I'm Kim Kennedy here with Susan Locke. We're so glad to have you with us.
Good morning, everyone.
We've been having some really interesting conversations this morning, Susan, and it all keeps coming back to the point of taking a stand. We keep coming back to that main point, standing and taking a stand, letting the results, leaving the results with God. And before, I know, Susan, you got some good stuff there. Can I share some encouragement?
Please do.
This is from one of my favorites, James McDonald, Walk in the Word. And he says, God doesn't take vacations. He's working on you right here, right now. Whatever the most difficult aspects of your life are, those are trials God has allowed to refine or to change your conduct and your character. He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. I hope that's an encouragement to you.
That's really an encouragement.
Susan, we're talking about, well, I keep coming back to the different topics that we're talking about, but it keeps coming back to being salt and light, speaking up, speaking with facts, speaking with civility and love, but speaking, taking a stand. Mm-hmm. And we do our part here by trying to bring sometimes some difficult subjects to light, but things that need to be discussed from a factual point of view, because too often facts are left out that are not convenient for an agenda. And we don't have an agenda here. We try to search for the facts and get the truth out. If you know, we always encourage our listeners to call. And Susan, what is that number again?
610-539-TALK, 8255. 610-539-TALK, 8255. We would love to hear from you.
Or they could email us at info@1180wfyl.com.
That's right.
One of our favorite, we have several favorite referral sources that we go to. And one of them is American Family Association. And They're talking a little bit today about that Ashley Madison group. They're saying it's just really sad that people sign up on a website to cheat on their spouse. And they accurately say, we're not talking about a one thing led to another defense. We're talking about premeditated, pre-planned, and prepaid opportunities to commit adultery. And obviously there are problems that need to be addressed, because unfortunately, Susan, we know that the church, that there are pastors who have been discovered who signed up for this, and people who claim the name of Christ. And, you know, that needs to be dealt with. We need to talk about those things. And what are your thoughts on that as you have, unfortunately, have been exposed to this? And
well, you know, I see a theme here, too, that the light is being shown on a number of things. Things are being exposed. They're being exposed. It's painful. It's horrible. It's ugly. But as long as these things are in the dark and hidden and unknown, they can't be dealt with. So I guess that's a positive thing.
Yes. I can only speak for myself because how God deals in my life. And, when you read the Bible, when you attend a Bible teaching church and that spotlight is shown on areas mm-hmm. of your life, it's like, there's an issue here, but it's mm-hmm. not. God's working is not to condemn and judge. Jesus said, I came not in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And there's that acknowledgement of sin. As I was reading the other day with the woman caught in adultery, he said, where are your accusers, woman? And she said, no man, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. And, so with this discouraging news about this, these events, we encourage, the Josh Dugars, and maybe there's people in situations like this who haven't been caught because they're not in a TV show or they haven't signed up to a website like this, but to take it to the light, go to a Christian counseling service, seek out a pastor, and deal with it before the Lord. We complain about our country and all that's going on, but too often, Susan, we're not salt and light because we have, the Christian community has issues in its own that they're not dealing with, and therefore we can't really be used of the Lord quite the way he would like to.
Well, I think it was Corrie Ten Boom. I could be wrong, but I believe it was Corrie Ten Boom who said in her 80s or something, the older I get, the more I see my need, my very great need for a Savior, for my Savior. The wonderful thing about our Lord and about the salvation message is that he humbled himself and came and took on all of that himself. And the darkest, most grievous of sins, if exposed, confessed, and repented of, can be forgiven. And there can be new life in Christ. That's the gospel message. Just believe, receive, and you know, lives turn around. It happens all the time. I was reading about Paul Kinger wasn't able to be with us today, but it was very interesting to me as I was reading about him. It said, you might be surprised to know, he said, I was a terrible student in high school who barely graduated and probably should not have graduated. I was a bad kid as well as a bad student. I turned my life around quite dramatically only once I became intensely interested in medicine in college after having been barely accepted as a community college student, and then, more importantly, once I became a Christian. Lives turn around, and then they are used mightily, and this man has, he's relatively young. I think he's about 49 years old, and he's written so many books. He's done so much great research on a number of things, on the Middle East, on Reagan. He and his wife have 8 children. I mean, there is no limit to what God can do with a life yielded to him. It, no matter how dark the situation might seem, no matter how terrible, God always provides a way out.
Repentance
is necessary.
Yes, and we have to call upon him. Mm-hmm. It's not, well, I'm a Christian because my parents were or because I go to church. No, it's an active decision that a person must make. You recognize your sin.
Individual.
I was 9 years old when that happened to me, and I knew, you know, as I listened to the gospel presentation, I knew I was a sinner. And I knew that if I died at that moment that I would not go to heaven as I thought I would. But it, conversely, at the same time, as I saw my sin, I saw the Savior.
That's
and
it.
I understood that
That's
Jesus Christ alone.
That is the great hope and the great truth that we have, the good news. It is very good news.
And as a Christian, Susan, I've learned that, I didn't realize this at first, but I was taught that 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, is written to believers.
Right.
So, surprise, I sin every day. I don't know about you. But I don't mean
That's
to make light
sure.
of it, but you know, we're working in the truth when we acknowledge that that sin nature stays within us. The Holy Spirit comes in at the moment of salvation, but our sin nature stays with us. And there's a struggle between the two. Mm-hmm. And when I give in to my flesh, my old Kim, I have to repent. I have to ask Christ to forgive me, and he does. And more importantly, I ask him to change my heart, give me victory over that. And I've seen lots of victories. There's more work that needs to be done. Susan?
As in all of us, the greatest gift we have is his presence with us. It's really a marvelous thing. And here we there is so much bad news out there, and so it can be absolutely debilitating, practically. Do you just want to crawl in a hole? And it can be very depressing too. But what we hope to do is present the news, but with the Christian, from a Christian point of view, and also with it, emphasize that prayer is very, very important, that nothing is impossible with God, and that I believe he longs to hear us pray and ask for his help. And
we've seen the results of that here at the station.
Right. And we try to also present positive solutions and highlight to you people who are working so diligently to bring about solutions, expose the evils of the day, shine that light of truth on them, and come up with positive ways to deal with these problems. But again, we come back to that fact. It's really important for everyone to contact their congressman right now. I mean, I was saying this morning, what are they doing? What are they doing, and why are they doing it? They need to be held to account. This is just ridiculous.
And that's putting it nicely, and it's up to us to remind them of reality.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that things that make sense to me and that are so obvious are obvious to them, and these people have so many influences on them, and quite frankly, I do not discount demonic influences.
Absolutely,
folks.
Absolutely, especially in Washington. I have felt it myself. It's a tremendously oppressive place with great demonic influences. These people need prayer. They need it. Well, the Bible tells us, first of all, pray for leaders and those in authority, that we may live peaceable lives. It is really imperative, and I think that's what I would want to leave with people today, that call to prayer. And again, we come back to this prayer meeting that's going to be held in the park, Valley Forge Park, on September 12th, Saturday, from 10 a.m. until noon. You might want to mark that down on your calendars. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for spending some time with us. We hope you'll come back tomorrow, or excuse me, next Tuesday, rather, on It's a New Day.
This good day, it is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it too. Lift my voice, sing a song of praise.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
First Thursday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. is Thrifty Thursdays at Homeworks Premium Thrift, and it's the place to be. Please come join us. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used items of all kinds, apparel, household items, books, furniture, and appliances. We offer free pickup for large loads, appliances, and furniture. Have a question about life or need prayer? Ask us. We'll be glad to talk or pray with you. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open until 8 p.m. every first Thursday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org and on Facebook. Looking forward to seeing you.
Surprise, everyone. We're back. We were talking about humor. God has a great sense of humor to put someone as time challenged as I am in this position right now. I really read the clock wrong and thought that we were finished with the program at the end of the last segment. I apologize to everyone. I hope I'm not the only one out there who gets confused about things like that, but
we want to get a jump on the holiday. As soon as we're done, we're out of here. No, we're not.
No, but, that's not true.
We've been having been a very interesting conversation, how we keep coming back to the point, and no matter what we're talking about, taking a stand and standing. I just want to remind everyone to keep Kim Davis, the clerk in Roane County, Kentucky, in your prayers today. She's taking a right stand legally. She's following the law, as opposed to the activist judges that are trying to bully and intimidate her.
It actually made me weep when I heard that clip of the people yelling and screaming at her and yelling, "By what authority are you doing this?" And her soft voice saying, "God's authority."
And can't think of any other better authority to stand on. And Ken Ham, interestingly, from Answers in Genesis, he's a favorite of ours here. We love that organization. And he says that increasingly Christians are being marginalized and punished. Yes, right here in America. It's quickly becoming more and more obvious that religious freedom is declining in America. And with the June Supreme Court decision to legalize gay marriage, quote unquote, this decline is happening faster than ever. Christians are increasingly being punished by the government for acting on their sincerely held religious beliefs. And mind you, that these are beliefs that don't harm other people. They don't discriminate. These bakers in Oregon didn't say, "You cannot have a cake at all." They said, "We choose not to bake it," but they were given referrals of other bakers who would bake for them. So just this absolute disrespect and disregard for anything, the things of God. And so I'm afraid that we're going to just have to be able to expect more and more of that as people continue to be disciplined or fired from their jobs simply because they profess their faith. Well, a recent ominous opinion from the Supreme Court of Ohio hints that further Christian intolerance is coming, and right in our backyard. This is an advisory opinion, Ken Ham states, but he says that a judge may not decline to perform all marriages in order to avoid marrying same-sex couples based on his or her personal, moral, or religious beliefs. And I may interrupt myself to ask, by what authority does he have to make that pronouncement? The Constitution does not support that idea. The Bill of Rights does not support it. The opinion went on to state that judges who refuse to marry anyone are creating the appearance of bias and prejudice, and that a judge who publicly states or implies a personal objection to performing same-sex marriages and reacts by ceasing to perform all marriage acts contrary to the mandate to avoid impropriety and the appearance of impropriety. What the opinion seems to imply is that those who hold that marriage is for one man and one woman because of their personal, moral, or religious beliefs are unfit to be judges. If something like this becomes law, which it could in our current cultural climate, it would basically set up an anti-Christian litmus test for any judicial officer in a state. And Susan, I have to ask you, could this test be extended to other areas of employment? This is just one of many examples that show the growing intolerance for Christian morals and beliefs in our society. And so there are still some voices out there who say that we're extremists, that we're overreacting. But I just quoted to you directly from a judge.
That's right. And Kim, this brings to mind, I'm sad that Paul Kinger was not able to be with us this morning. I hope he can be with us next week. But I want to really recommend to all of you out there his latest book published this year called Takedown: From Communists to Progressives, How the Left Has Sabotaged Family and Marriage. It's called Takedown, T-A-K-E-D-O-W-N. From Communists to Progressives, How the Left Has Sabotaged Family and Marriage, a shocking expose of how the far left, from Karl Marx to Herbert Marcuse, have sought to take down natural, traditional, biblical marriage and family, culminating in gay marriage, which provides the long-sought vehicle for leftists to finally succeed in redefining marriage and family and to attack religion.
And Susan, the ultimate goal is the perversion of the very young and most vulnerable in our society.
Right.
Because now there are voices, and we don't have time to get into this today.
Think Hitler Youth.
Yes, and there are voices now, and these are people with doctorates and people in high positions who are saying, well, what's wrong with pedophilia? What's wrong with perversion? And here at this station, we'll speak up on that. We'll take a stand.
Well, when people turn away from God, when they reject
right.
Him, and that's what this, after Kay, the woman in Kentucky, was asked by what authority you need, she said, God's authority, very softly. And this man yelled at her, we don't believe in God. And that's it right there.
So it's the old, it's the ancient battle between.
Yes, it's nothing new. This is nothing
new. God and the devil.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing new. She needs our prayers. All believers need. We need to be praying for one another.
And I encourage you, as I have in the past, is go to Psalm 11, Psalm 2 as well. That God is on his throne. Susan, he's not moving from there, is he?
No, he is not.
So we would encourage people who might be poo-pooing, laughing, mocking what we're saying, reconsider. God is merciful and loving and forgiving. But if that is knowingly rejected and kicked away, in Hebrews it says there's a certain fearful looking for of judgment. God does judge sin when he brings it to light and repentance is rejected. Judgment is the alternative, folks.
That's true. And Kim, I'd just like to share some other writings of Paul Kinger for our listeners to read. That Takedown is something you really should read. And also, in 2012, he wrote a profile of Frank Marshall Davis, who is the mentor, or was the mentor to Barack Obama. It's titled, The Communist, Frank Marshall Davis, The Untold Story of Barack Obama's Mentor, published by Simon & Schuster. It's based on declassified FBI files and Soviet and Communist Party USA archives. The book garnered a significant amount of public attention when it was published in 2012. He's also written Dupes, How America's Adversaries Have Manipulated Progressives for a Century. It's the exploitation of American liberals by communists beginning in the early 20th century. And he's done a lot of research on President Reagan. Prior to Dupes, he published another major Cold War work focused on Ronald Reagan's role in undermining the Soviet Union titled The Crusader, Ronald Reagan and the Fall of Communism. He's written so many books, and I would recommend them all. He's done a great deal of research, and it's very eye-opening, very enlightening.
Well, I know we'll have him on mm-hmm. and have a wonderful conversation mm-hmm. that's worth tuning in for. Unfortunately, it didn't work out today, but I hope you enjoyed what we talked about. We kept coming back to the central theme of taking a stand and stand, leaving the results up to God. Susan, your thoughts?
True. That's right.
Well, we want to say...
Be strong and of good courage.
Yes, indeed. And Susan, you already said goodbye, so...
Yes, I did.
I'll say it now, and we want to say happy Labor Day to you all. We'll see you next Tuesday.
It is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it to lift my voice. Sing a song of praise on this good day. I will walk to work.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we...